The deal. Sweet Potato Commentary, September 12th, 2013. There I was, working in the food pantry of St. Elizabeth, Mother of John the Baptist Catholic Church. At my side, preparing boxes for the needy, was an 18-year-old one day and a 19-year-old on the next. Both teens are part of the Sweet Potato Project. We were making amends for a transgression, paying a penance for a crime, trying to regain trust. It was, after all, part of our deal. It all started on the last day of our summer session. Excitement was in the air. It was payday, and in just 2 days, the youth would host an end-of-session event that would feature performances, testimonials, and the sweet potato recipes they had discovered this year. But the good times came to a crashing halt when I learned that three of my boys, who had been asked to help out in the food pantry, were accused of stealing a cell phone. I was livid. This church had allowed us to conduct classes this summer at its affiliate school, St. Louis Catholic Academy. The supportive staff had become loving mentors and had nothing but compliments about our youth and our program until that fateful day. "How dare you jeopardize this program?" I yelled at the boys. "After all we've learned about dignity and responsibility, teamwork and self-respect, how dare you damage the reputation of this program and your fellow students?" The rock-headed teens formed an alliance. No one would indict the other or admit they had stolen the phone or even return it, for that matter. Not at first, anyway. So the other kids were paid and dismissed. But the three teens, they had to stay behind to face the wrath of myself, Mr. Herman Noah, the board member with the North Area Community Development Corporation, and Talis Paget, a local author and a dedicated volunteer this summer. Those boys were not leaving that room until that phone was returned. Eventually, after a good dressing down, one of the boys fessed up, told us he stole the phone. It was retrieved and returned to the elderly volunteer. "Why? Why did you steal the phone?" I asked the culprit, who will remain anonymous. "Because it was red," he answered stupidly. This kid was a member of the Bloods. He'd been in this gang since elementary school, and in some twisted, bizarre way, he's still captivated by the gang's colors. The boys were sent home without pay. I told them that I needed to talk with Mr. Noah and Talis about their punishment. But honestly, I needed time to reflect on some of the advice that a couple of my students who started with the program last year had given me. Charnel, Barry, and Mike in particular had accused me of being too lax with some of the more rowdy students this year. "You should fire them, Mr. Brown," they repeatedly told me. Their point was well taken, but I challenged them. I said, "Listen, guys, we have a group of students this year from some of the poorest, most crime-filled neighborhoods in the city. They're used to being medicated. They're used to being set aside, suspended, shut out, kicked out, or fired from something. I want this program to be different. I want us to find a way to turn the so-called worst kids, turn them around. And furthermore, I need your help in doing it. I know it's a huge mandate to put on young people, but the Sweet Potato Project is unlike traditional public or charter schools. We're not looking for the cream of the crop. We want the knuckleheads. We want the hard to reach. We're dedicated to creating a generation of urban entrepreneurs. And if we are serious about creating jobs and businesses in North St. Louis, we're going to have to find ways to empower the dismissed and the discarded. Some are beyond rescue, I know this. But we have to create avenues of redemption for those willing to step up to the challenge. So after these reflections and discussions, I contacted the three boys. "Since you all took part in this theft, you must pay restitution," I told them. I offered them a deal. If they went back to the food pantry, humbled themselves, and faced their accusers and worked 2 days without pay, I'd give them their last paycheck and allow them back into the program. Two of the boys showed up on different days. When I accompanied the first to the pantry, a senior volunteer said she did not trust him and she did not want him in the church. It was understandable. However, the elderly woman, the one who had actually had her phone stolen, she disagreed with that decision. She allowed the boy to work under her supervision that day, and I marveled at her gentle but stern grandmotherly advice that she gave the boy as she put him to work. "He's a good kid and a hard worker, Mr. Brown," she told me later. Then she turned to the boy and she said, "I hope you've learned something today." Now, she wasn't there when I returned with the other student, the one who actually stole the phone, but he told me that she had given him a call. She had forgiven him for his deed, and she gave him the same advice she'd given his partner. As me and this kid walked home after working that day, I continued the lecture. "You have leadership ability, young man," I said. "After all, you convinced a group of gullible young men to cover for your crime. Unfortunately, you have a gift that you're using for evil. And if you let me, I'll show you how to turn your weaknesses into your strengths." He said he'd try. Parting ways, I could only hope he and his wayward cohorts did actually learn something from this incident. There's a way to reclaim dignity and the trust of others if you man up after you mess up. He's one of the kids I've been writing to you all about. One of the kids who give me great concern. They're not in school, they don't have a job, and they are prone to dangerous distractions. I'm frustrated that we still haven't raised enough money to resume classes or to get these kids working at least a couple of days maintaining the sweet potato lots. I'm not talking about a lot of money, but at least I can give them something while I keep my eye on them, while I can talk to them and try to inspire them and to remind them what we are trying to accomplish. You see, we've reached out to these kids. We've welcomed the chaos that comes with their environments, but we sparked their imaginations. I've told them that they will be the urban pioneers who will show the city that we can indeed plant produce and create products from North St. Louis. A promise is a promise, my friends, and I'm not giving up on them. I can't. After all, we made a deal. This is Sylvester Brown. I'm the program director of the Sweet Potato Project. Thank you.